Appreciate very much this morning the opportunity that I have to be here with you. And I trust that as I stand before you today, that as prayer has already been offered, that you will continue to be in prayer not only for me, but for yourselves and for this service as we change its order. It's been a great privilege for me to be in West Texas again. Many years ago when I came the first time, I remembered it very well, and I've thought about it often, discussed it with my wife many times, and it's been a great privilege for me to be here and to renew your acquaintances again. And I pray that the Lord will bless you in days to come as he never has before. And that's my true prayer, and I trust that God will honor that request today. As for me this morning, I feel like one time, I'll tell you a little story, and I'm good at that, I think. Many years ago, there's a little community over in a county that adjoins us called Cherokee County, Alabama. Borders the Georgia line, just like we do. There was a community over there that was one that was known as just a rough community. There was a church there. And in the 100 years that that community had been there, they'd never had a preacher stay over 1 year. They sent a young man there to pastor the church, and when the first year was up, they called him the second year. And that had never been done in 100 years. Second year was up, they called him the third year. And he was just elated at his success. He got the deacons together and he said, "Brethren," said, "I'm beginning now my third year here, and it's unprecedented in the history of this church that you never had a preacher stay over 1 year. Now I'm beginning my third year, and I'd just like to know what I can attribute my success to." And sometimes my daddy says, plain talk is easy understood. One of the deacons told him, said, "Well, son, we have never needed a preacher anyway, and you are about the nearest nothing we ever had." So this morning, I think that I feel like about the nearest nothing that you could have. But I'm glad to be here. And I pray that for the time that I stand before you, that you will be in prayer for me. Call your attention this morning to the third chapter of the book of John. John chapter 3, and beginning with verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus, during the days of his personal ministry, spoke from every book of the first 5 books of Moses. If anyone thinks or doubts concerning the authenticity of the first 5 books of Moses, which many people do, I tell you that Jesus did not doubt their realness and their authenticity. He spoke from the very first 5 books of the Bible. And what happened in Numbers chapter 21 was of such a great significance that Jesus related it again to a man by the name of Nicodemus, and said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so," that is, "in like manner, must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now turn back with me to the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers, and let's see the account of what is taking place and the relevance that it has with what Jesus preached in John chapter 3. The Bible said, beginning with verse 4, And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I want to stop right there for just a moment and tell you that there are many times during the life of the child of God and the life that he lives in the church that he begins to be very much discouraged. I got a sermon I preach on discouragement. I like to preach on encouragement, but I've got one I preach on discouragement. I've preached all over the United States in the last 30 years, and I count that a great privilege. But I'll tell you, wherever I go, I find preachers in the ministry who are discouraged. Very much so at very many times. And I've talked to older preachers that I came up under back through the years who have lived through so many things that I can only imagine. And their discouragements were many, many, many. But here the Bible says that as these people compassed the land of Edom, the soul of this people was much discouraged because of the way. It was difficult for them. It was a hard time. And because of that, because of their discouragement, and I tell you that we are guilty of this same thing sometimes, the people began to speak against God and against Moses. Now, it was bad enough that they spake against Moses, God's man, but it was quite another thing for them to speak against God. The people spake against God, and they spake against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. You see, their complaint was, as bad as it was down in Egypt, as we made the bricks with the slime and the mortar, as we stayed down there for 430 years, as bad as it was and as bad as we thought we had it down there, I'll tell you, Moses, it's worse where you've brought us. The Bible says, and the Lord sent. You believe the Lord sends things on us? I'm going to tell you, this didn't come from the devil. The Bible said the Lord sent. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Can't you just see this, how these fiery serpents are everywhere? I did a study on this one time, and historians tell us, as much as they can learn about it, that these serpents within themselves had such a venom that when it was injected into the body, that it sent a fiery sensation through the body of the victim that they bit. And much people died. Their venom was fatal. And oh, what a terrible tragedy this was in the journey of the children of Israel. But remember this, that the Lord sent the serpents. And as the Lord sent the serpents among the people, those same serpents bit the people. And the cause of this death that God sent among them brought them to a greater understanding of who God was and God's purpose in their life. Listen now. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Now pray unto the Lord that he take away the servants from among us." And Moses prayed for the people. You know, I don't think I would have been near as congenial as Moses was. You know, sometimes I get tired of dealing with people. I've dealt with people in my career all of my life. I deal with people every day. And you know, there's some people you can't please. Will y'all say amen? Thank you. I'll be gone in a little bit. But there's some people, I don't care, you give them gold and they'll want silver. There are folks out in the world like that, but I want to tell you, there's a few scattered around in the church like that. You know, there's some folks that you just can't please. And here these people, they had said, now we despise this bread that we've received. We despise what we've got out here. As bad as it was in Egypt, it's worse out here. Moses, why in the world have you brought us out here to die in this barren wilderness? We just don't understand it. We thought you thought more of us than what you do. We've been told that you're a prophet from God. You're our deliverer. God sustained you, preserved you, and brought us to a time of deliverance through you, the man that God used. And now you've brought us out here to die in the middle of this wilderness from starvation and from thirst. Why would you do this to us in such a manner as this? The fiery serpents came. And those same people that rebelled against God and rebelled against Moses now comes to Moses in repentance and said, Lord Moses, we've sinned. Will you pray for us? Will you pray for us? Will you ask God to remove these serpents from among us? Our children and our families are dying. Will you pray for us that the Lord will remove them? You know, I'd imagine if I'd have been Moses, I'd have said, you've made your bed, now you lay in it. You've sinned, now you get yourself out of it. Moses didn't do that, did he? The man of God that he was, when they asked him to pray for them, the Bible says, and Moses prayed for the people. I'm glad that's there. And Moses prayed for a rebellious people that rebelled against him, rebelled against God. When they came to Moses and said, pray for us, Moses didn't rebel against them, but he prayed for the people. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You know, I want you to understand that the remedy for their sickness looked almost like the cause of their sickness, didn't it? The serpent that they looked upon was what caused all the trouble. Moses, you make a serpent of brass. Now, why didn't he say make a serpent of gold or silver? You know, they had gold in the construction of the tabernacle. Silver in the construction of the tabernacle. Why didn't he say make a serpent of brass? Brass is an alloy metal. It's made up of zinc and copper. One is highly perishable, and the other is highly non-perishable. And this typified the two natures that Christ possessed. Christ had a nature about him that was perishable, that could die and did die, and yet he had the very nature of God, God in the flesh. And as Moses was instructed to set this serpent upon a pole, as he was lifted up, remember what Jesus said now, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I tell you this today, it was a necessity that our Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up on the cross. It was a necessity that our Lord be lifted up on the cross, and as he was lifted up on the cross, it was in accordance with the plan and the purpose of God. And as the plan and the purpose of God began to unveil and unfold, we see the blessed Son of God, even in the Old Testament, being revealed and shown up to the time of his birth. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, the Bible says this, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Do you know what a scepter is? It's a symbol of authority. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Peacemaker. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. The Bible says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. For there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel. Smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. That light began to grow brighter and brighter and brighter until Isaiah 42:4 could say this, that he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Come on through the Old Testament and down through the times that the prophets spoke until the great day dawned, and Paul came on the scene in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 when he says this, that when the fullness of the time, I like that terminology, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. There was going to come a time when our blessed Lord must be lifted up on the cross. Heard somebody on the radio the other day talking about and said Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed three times that he could get out of dying. I'll tell you, that's not what our Lord did. Amen. Our Lord went there, came into this world with the full assurance and knowledge of what the end result of his work would be. Our Lord came into this world being not surprised at anything that took place with him, but went there willingly. And as he went to the cross willingly, I say this to you today, that our Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and as those preachers went part of the way with him right there, do you know the Bible said it, that he went across the brook Kidron and he began to pray. And as he prayed, he came back. Those disciples were asleep. The Bible says in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one says he went about a stone's cast. Another says a little further. And another says a little beyond. But where those preachers stopped right there, my friend, Jesus Christ went a little further. Aren't you glad of that today? When a preacher stops, Jesus Christ is still going a little further. The Bible said in the book of John, you read seven times in the book of John where he said, mine hour is not yet come. But there came a time in John 17 when the Bible said, Father, my hour is come. The hour is come. The time is now. The hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. I'll tell you, the time had come when our blessed Lord must be lifted up. The God-man. Well, don't let anybody ever stand up here and tell you that Jesus Christ was half God and half man, because that's not so. Jesus Christ was all God and all man. That's what we believe about it. And thank God today that when the God-man died, when he was lifted up on the cross, when they pierced his side, when they saw him die, when they saw him cry out in agony and in pain, when those at the foot of the cross looked at him and saw him, I'm telling you, the will of God was being done in the life of the God-man. But I'm going to tell you, that man must be lifted up. And I'm thankful that he was lifted up. The Arminian will tell us today that Jesus Christ died with no assurance of his success, of his death. He made salvation possible, but he never made it a fact. Well, I want to tell you today that my Lord didn't just make salvation possible, he made it a fact. My Lord made it a fact. When he says it is finished, there's nothing that can be added to it. You know, I've got a lot of things around my house that's not finished. My wife writes me a list about every morning of things that I need to finish. The other day I was out in my garage and I was trying to clean it out, and she walked out there and she said, you know, you got more stuff in here than anything I know of. Y'all got a lot of stuff? You got any stuff in your garage, in your barn, in your shed? You got any stuff? You know, that's Bible. I got a lot of stuff. You know what they told David? It says, stand by your stuff. You know, I've got a lot of stuff, and I stand by it. I stand by it. That's what she says.
A lot of things are not finished. I got a lot of stuff around that that's just not finished. But I want to tell you today, brother, bless your sweetheart, just as sure as heaven is happy when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the very thing that God ordered in eternity past, that very thing was finished, and it'll never have to be done again. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank God today that when our Lord went to the cross, Jesus says this. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he's given me, I should lose no thing but raise it up again at the last day. Thank God today, my friend, when Jesus died, he was a complete and total success. And when he was lifted up on the cross, I'll tell you right now that that word of God became sure, it became true, it became a reality in the time when Jesus died. But I'm going to tell you, there are other ways that Jesus must be lifted up. Amen. Amen. Even though he was lifted up on the cross, even though he was lifted up, and that must be so, I'll tell you today, he must be lifted up in the preaching of the gospel. He must be lifted up in the preaching of the gospel. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, listen now to what Paul says to the church at Corinth. Chapter 1 and beginning with verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Now I want to tell you, Paul was not putting baptism down the line somewhere. Baptism is not an option for the child of God. It is a commandment to the child of God. And Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. As important as that was, Christ inspired Paul to write that Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? But to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For what? For the preaching of the cross. You see? The preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Has anybody ever told you what you believe was foolishness? You know, I was preaching on the radio one day, and I'll tell you how long ago it's been. 30 minutes of radio time was $11. I found a receipt the other day. That's how long ago it's been. Everything was done live. And so I walked out one day, and there was a man at the counter outside the radio station there in my hometown, right where I live now. And I walked out, and I thought he was going to congratulate me on such a good job that I'd done. And I walked out, and I stuck out my hand to shake hands with him. And he said, you're going to hell, and everybody believes like you's going to hell. You know, that'll take the wind out of your sails when you thought you've done a real good job. And I said, well, brother, I didn't know what to say. And I said, well, brother, pray for me. I need help, I guarantee you, if that's what you think about me. And he began to really read me the right act of how that God Almighty didn't choose anybody before the foundation of the world, but he looked down through time and he saw who would have faith and who would believe. And on that basis, he chose them to salvation. I tell you today, my friend, I got a better story for you than that. Yes, sir. The preaching of the gospel tells us that Jesus Christ was lifted up and that he was a complete and total success. And if the gospel is never preached, that's still true as it can be. Yes, sir. But he says the preaching of the cross is to them. Now, I believe that fellow was a child of God, but he didn't know why. He didn't know much about it. He was sincere about it, but he is sincerely wrong. And he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You believe that some of God's children are perishing? Amen. I'm going to tell you, I believe that there are some of God's children that are perishing. Now, we know the wicked are going to perish. We know the wicked are in a perishing state. We ourselves die daily. But I'm going to tell you, right here in this life, there are some of God's children that perish in trying to put burdens and weights on the shoulders of God's children that they just cannot bear. There are men that will stand behind a book board and they will put a burden on your shoulders that you cannot bear. And so many of God's children perish in that way. Several years ago, I came in from the field one day and I parked there in the yard, and there was a young lady that I'd known all her life sitting there on the porch, and she was crying. And I said, child, what in the world's wrong with you? She said, Brother Ricky, said, I'm disturbed. I said, what are you disturbed about? She said, I've been to church and they told me I'm going to hell. She said, I've done the best I can, and said, I still think I'm going to hell. And she said, when I look back at my life, it's not a very good picture. She said, I think I'm going to hell. And she said, I feel so mad. I said, I've gone to hell. Said, they told me what I got to do, and said, I did that. And said, I still think I'm going to hell. I said, you sit down there just a minute. I'm going to talk to you, and I don't care whether you believe what I say or not, but I want to tell you anyway. I said, all the world has ever known to preach to this world was hell and damnation. But I've got a better story for you than that. And that is that Jesus Christ paid a debt that you couldn't pay. And thank God today, my friend, that debt stands paid today. Whether the gospel is ever preached or not, whether you ever understand it or not, thank God today, my friend, we can lift up Christ and say, there he is. And do you know who it was to? It's not to those who weren't bitten, but only to those who were bitten. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, I'll tell you right now, if I can prove that the lifting up of that serpent in the wilderness benefited all the world in that day, I can prove that the lifting up of Jesus Christ on the cross benefited all the world in his day. But it didn't do that, did it? The lifting up of that serpent in the wilderness was for the benefit of Israel, wasn't it? And it didn't benefit all of Israel. It only benefited those that were bitten, didn't it? Only those that were bitten. And I'll tell you right now, when we lift up Jesus in the preaching of the gospel, it doesn't benefit all the family of God. No, sir, it's the truth whether they believe it or not, but it doesn't benefit all of them. They don't understand it. They don't believe it. But I'm going to tell you right now today, brothers and sisters, to those who have been bitten, to those who have been able to see what they are and what they need, I'll tell you, when Jesus is lifted up in the preaching of the gospel, then you can see him too big to need any help and you too little to give him any. Amen. Thank God that's the way it is. And I believe today that in the great message of divine grace, that great and wonderful message today tells us that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto what? But unto us which are saved. Oh, listen to that. To us which are saved. To us which are saved, it's the power of God. Can't get another one in it but that, can you? To us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Listen now. It pleased God by the what? Foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, he didn't say by foolish preaching. Now, there's some of that around. But he says this, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Do you know what is foolishness to some children of God saves others, doesn't it? You know, I'll tell you today that when the gospel is preached in power and demonstrated, you know, listen, you know, last night we had about as good a meeting as I've been in a long time. And I'll tell you right now, brethren, I wouldn't give you a dime for a religion you can't feel. You hear me? You know, when I leave you, I want to feel something. I want to feel something. I tell you, when I come to the house of God, I want to feel something in the singing this morning. When we lift up our hearts to God, when we lift up our voices in song, and with that voice, we lift him up in praise and adoration. I'll tell you right now that there's a wonderful experience we have of feeling down deep in our soul that the Lord lives in us. Thank God today that blessed time that we are together, that we can lift him up. Lift him up. Now, not only is he lifted up in the preaching of the gospel, not only was he lifted up on the cross, and that must be, but I'm going to tell you, we must, if we are to be benefited as children of God, lift him up every day in our lives. Now, how about that? Let's get down to brass tacks with it now. Let's lift him up in our lives. How do we do that? How do I lift him up, preacher? I'll tell you, preacher, that's easy to preach and hard to live. That's right, it is. But I'm going to tell you today that the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you conformed to this world today? Preacher, I tell you, I'm not conformed to this world. I tell you, tell that to your grandma. They'll believe stuff sometimes other people won't believe. I'll tell you right now, all of us are conformed to this world to some degree. I was looking through my closet the other day, and I found a tie. And that thing was just about that wide. And I couldn't believe I ever wore such a thing. I found a suit with a lapel that just came out just like this. I found a little narrow belt. And so, you know, listen, we conform to this world the best that we can do. We conform in styles. We conform daily. But you know what the Bible says? And I'm not really rubbing you the wrong way with that. But all I'm saying is this. Paul says to the church at Rome, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be you rather transformed. That's how you're going to lift up Christ. That's how you're going to do it. That's how you must do it. And you know, it tells us in these scriptures and how that we conform ourselves. You know, we conform ourselves in a lot of ways, not only in styles, but, you know, in communication. I've said this, you know, a number of times. You know, I've got every kind of communication you can think of. I mean, I've got a beeper. All of my family's got a cell phone. I've got three telephone lines in the house. And email. I've got email. Don't forget that. Email. You can even go down to the gas station. You don't even have to go in the station to pay for your gas anymore. You've got a card. You can just put in the pump and get in your car and leave. You know what that's called? A convenience store. Convenience store. You know what a king told Paul one time? He says, when I have a convenient season, I will come unto thee. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you right now, that God Almighty commands you to follow him when the season is not convenient. God Almighty calls on you to follow him when everything is not just like it ought to be. We are to be not conformed to this world, but be rather transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I'll tell you right now, sometimes that conforming to this world bleeds over into the church, the best that you can do. It'll bleed right over into the church. And I'll tell you, brother, when the church begins to conform to this world, we got problems. Now, we got problems in the world, but I'm going to tell you right now, when the church begins to conform to it, we got more problems. I'll tell you, the church in its simplicity is a wonderful thing. The church in its simplicity lifts up Jesus Christ. The church in its simplicity is that organization. And listen to that. I say organization, it is an organism. The church is not just an organization, but it is an organism, a body that lives and moves in accordance with its head. I was reading in a book the other day, a religious denomination book, and they said this, and immediately, you know, when I get to reading things like that, I flip over there to Primitive Baptists, see what they say. Do you know what they said about Primitive Baptists? They said Primitive Baptists are the most orthodox of all Baptists. Amen. Thank God they said it. But you know what they said down at the bottom? Their central headquarters is located in Thornton, Arkansas. I want to tell you right now, brother, the head of the church is not in Thornton, Arkansas. The head of the church is not in Cincinnati. The head of the church is not in Atlanta or Dallas. The head of the church is in heaven, thank God. That's where the head of the church is. I'll tell you today that when we move, we must move in accordance with the head. The body cannot function without the head. Bless your heart. You can take today. You can separate a man's head from his body and both parts will die. But when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, the head was separated from the body, and both of them is still living today. The head's in heaven and the body's in the earth. And thank God the Bible tells us that now are you the body of Christ and members in particular. And I say this today, let us lift up Christ as our only Savior. Not only that we see him on the cross, and thank God for that great blessing. Let's lift him up in the preaching of the gospel. Let's lift him up every day in our lives. And let our light so shine that others may see these things and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I say today, that the blessed gospel that we preach is that comforting message that tells all the world that Jesus died, rose, and revived that he might be God of the dead of the living, and that Jesus Christ himself, that same one that was lifted up on the cross back there hundreds of years ago, that same Jesus is going to come back one day and receive us unto himself, not because we've been baptized, not because that we've successfully held out to the end, not because that our good works have outweighed our bad works, but because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross, we shall be ushered in to that great and that upper kingdom, and there forever and forever, while the ceaseless ages of eternity shall roll, shall praise his great name, who was lifted up for us. And as we lift him up today, may God help us to always set our eyes upon that crucified and risen Redeemer. Amen and amen today. What a wonderful blessing it is when we can come to the house of God and see and understand that the very essence of divine grace lives in us today. Oh, today, how wonderful that is. You know, one day I was going down South Alabama to preach. Give me five more minutes. I was going down South Alabama to preach, and you know, old Baptists have a way of hiding their churches. Amen. Listen, I've hunted them up, brother. Don't kid me. I know better. Old Baptists have got a war, especially in the deep south. Now, I don't know, you can see a little further out here than we can down at home, but I'm going to tell you, in the deep south, they got ways of hiding them. And they don't put up no sign. They ain't no advertisement. You hear me? But one day I was going down South Alabama to preach, and while I was driving down through there, why, I was lost. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't dead, but I was lost. There's a difference between being dead and lost. There's a lot of, you know, the dead alien sinner, he's dead, but there's a lot of God's children that are lost. Yes, sir. But you know, I was driving down through there, and I was just I didn't know where I was. I mean, I thought I was in the general vicinity, but I'd never been here before, and I was supposed to be there on Saturday morning. And I was driving down a country road, and there's a cotton patch every which way I looked. And there wasn't a house nowhere, and I in despair. It was in the summertime. It was hot. And I didn't know what I was going to do. They were looking for me. They were waiting on me. And I just, at the crossroads, I just, in despair, I just stopped my car and shut the motor off. Rolled down the glass. And just in my despair, I said, what in the world am I going to do? I mean, I'm 100 miles from home. I don't know where to go. What in the world am I going to do? And all of a sudden, I heard them singing across the field. Heard them singing across the field. We are marching to Zion. And I'll tell you right now, for that experience has never left my mind today. What a grand message that was. It wasn't anything that was out of the ordinary, but I'm going to tell you, when I heard it, my daddy used to say, I knew that was old Kit's bell. You know, there was something about that sound that did something for me. And I turned my car around. I went back and I drove just as straight to it as I could. And they began to sing, and I'll tell you, my heart flooded with joy. Jesus was lifted up, and that day, I've not preached every time, but I'll tell you right now, the Lord blessed me to preach that day. Yes, sir, and I remember it just like it was yesterday. And I'll tell you today that when we can come to the house of God and have those great experiences and hear the joyful sound and lift Jesus up in so many ways, thank God today, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, you can sell all I've got, and it wouldn't amount to very much. But I want to tell you, there's some things money can't buy, Brother Lowrance. There's some things money can't buy. You know what Jesus said about it, and I close with this. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You think he's talking about up yonder? No. I'll tell you, he's talking about right down here, while we live. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves can't break through and steal, where moths and rust can't corrupt. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, there may be a time. There may become a time when you can't come to the house of God like you have this morning, but you're going to have some treasures laid up that you can reflect on, that you can look on, and in that you can still lift up our blessed Savior. I was going through the nursing home one day, and my mother's administrator there for 30 years. And there was an old man in there, and he was sitting there. Now, you know, those folks tickle to death, you'll just stop and speak to them. And so I was walking through there, and I knew most everybody in there. And I was kind of busy that day, like I am every day, but I was kind of busy. And I didn't have much time to stop and talk. And there was an old man there, and he was sitting there tied in his chair just like this. And I walked by, and I didn't speak to him. Sad as that is, I just didn't. I'm confessing that. I didn't speak to him. Didn't even look at him. I walked by, and I took about 10 steps up the hall, and all of a sudden, with the clearest voice you ever heard, he began to sing, "What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this?" Well, man, I tell you, that rung my bell. You know, I wheeled around and walked back down there, and I shook his hand, and I said, "Brother, I sure do enjoy you singing." He said, "I sure do enjoy you singing." And I said, "Well, where'd you learn that?" He said, "Mama sung it to me when I was a little boy. Rocked me on the front porch and sung it to me." I said, "What church did you go to?" He said, "Well, you probably don't know much about it." I said, "Well, I might." I said, "What church do you go to?" He said, "Well, we went to an old Primitive Baptist church. Now we're here in the next community." He said, "Do you know anything about them folks?" I said, "Brother, I'm the pastor there." I'm the pastor there. I'm going to tell you right now, that old man couldn't get out of his chair. But I'm going to tell you, he lifted up Christ. Hear me? He lifted up Christ. Now, I ask you today, in a personal way, how do you lift up Christ? You leave here today, and I hope that you'll contemplate that. How am I going to lift up Christ? You can't put yourself on the cross. You can't go back there. Oh, you can reflect on it by an eye of faith. You can read about it from a historical standpoint. How am I going to lift up Christ, preacher? I'll tell you how you're going to lift him up: by obeying his word, by following his commandments, and by putting your hand to the plow and not looking back. May God help us to do that today. And I'll tell you today that when you've done that, there'll be such a blessing in it. And what a wonderful blessing that is. Now, I've tried to explain that to people for 35 years. And I can't do it to save my life, to my satisfaction. I baptized my wife's uncle about 3 years ago, and he's 98 years old. His daddy was a preacher. We baptized him in a swimming pool. And I baptized him. He was 98. I brought him up out of the water. He said, "You know, I all done this last year." That's the truth. And I tell you, there's plenty of God's children that ought to have done it last year. Amen. And you know what you do? You lift up Christ when you do that. Thank God today that we have this blessed privilege. Thank God today that we can come to the house of God, lift him up, and let us, when we leave here, remember that we lift him up not only during our song service, during our preaching service, but when you leave here, lift him up in your life that others can see that you have been saved by God's amazing grace. Thank God for you this morning. I've enjoyed trying to preach to you. Thank God today. I love you all. Pray for me, and I trust that God will bless you all in a wonderful, wonderful way, and my prayers are with you and for you. God bless you is my prayer. Brother George.